continue our study through the book of Romans, which we began a study a couple weeks ago on Wednesday nights, and we're going to continue our study this evening. So if you have your Bibles, and we'll turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and I want to look at verses 18 through 22 or 23 this evening. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. I'll read those verses, and then we're going to go back and look at them. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corrupt, like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these words, and help us to understand you're not fooled with what's going on, because you know the hearts of men. And Father, you've seen the deceitfulness of our hearts, and you've seen the foolishness of men when they begin to look to themselves instead of you. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word this evening and help us to be encouraged, realizing you are the one who is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and ruler of all. Speak to us tonight through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can see by what's happening in the news, all you have to do is turn on the news and listen to people talk for a while, and you understand there's a spiritual battle going on. As I mentioned, the thing that's happening in our nation today is a many-leveled thing. There's political things that are driving what's going on in our country. There's economic reasons that are driving what's going on in our country. There are reasons of power and wanting power that are driving what's going on in our country. But behind it all is a spiritual reason. And God knows the spiritual reason. And he understands it. And tonight I want to look at what his word says about it. Paul understood that these battles were there 2,000 years ago when he wrote the book of Romans. He wanted us to understand what is happening in our world and why people are so blinded to the truth of God's word. I shared with my wife, and I shared with you through a couple of the messages that there's a group of testimonies of Jewish people that have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's called One Israel, and they share their testimonies. And the amazing thing is how that many of these people were blinded totally to who Jesus was until God opened their eyes, and all of a sudden they saw he is the Messiah, and he is the one that has been called to redeem mankind, and he's God come in the flesh, and they became Christians. Well, as we see from the Apostle Paul, the problem is one that every man struggles with till he comes to the point of knowing Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and the problem is unbelief and the ramifications of it. Let's just take a look at these verses and see what they say about it. First of all, I want you to understand God is not pleased with men that reject him. And God is not pleased with men that come against him and his word and his righteousness and his authority. It says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. I want to look at some of those words. First of all, I want to look at the word wrath. It's interesting, if you look at the word wrath, wrath means a holy and just indignation against sin and against rebellion. Wrath is fully justified by God. Why? Because of the wickedness of men's hearts. We're going to get into it in just a moment about the fact that every man that's alive has no excuse when he stands before the Lord, which we all will one day, to have to give an account of our life. Because every man has been created in God's very image. And the scriptures tell us that we have all been created in the image of God, and God's purpose in creating us in His image was really twofold. One, that we may bring glory to Him, and that we may exalt Him as our Creator, and that we are created in His image. And we're created in His image so that we can have a unique fellowship with Him. A fellowship that no other created creature can have. Why? Because we have been given intelligence. We have been given a moral compass and moral direction to our life so that we can understand good from evil. We have been given an ability to make a conscious decision, a moral decision, to either bring glory or disrepute and disrespect to the name of God. And as you look at this, God is fully within His rights to be angry. As I mentioned, wrath is holy and just indignation. And the word indignation, we really don't understand, but it's a word that is a very strong word. Indignation means extreme anger mixed with contempt, disgust, and abhorrence. That is what God feels against sin. And I want you to understand why. To understand why, you need to go back to the book of Genesis. And you go back to the book of Genesis, and it's interesting as God, it gives us His account of creation, and He who was there and created all things gives us the account of creation. And the amazing thing, when He was completed with creation, He said it was not just good, which He said after the first day and the second day and all the way through the fifth day, but after the sixth day, He said it was very good. Now, at that point in time, His creation and man as the epitome of His creation, because as I said, man was created in His image, was very good. The impact of sin had not touched that creation. But because God did not want robots, but He created us with the ability to choose, because I want you to understand, what does it mean if we can't choose? What does love mean if I can't choose not to love? You see, if we said, if we were created and all we could do was rotely speak, and had been programmed to say, I love you, God, I love you, God, and it didn't come from a choice within us, the depth of its meaning wouldn't be there. Just as your husband and wife chose to say, I love you, chose to say, yes, I will marry you, yes, I will commit myself to you, yes, I will covenant with you. God desired that same thing for man to say, yes, I will love you. Yes, I will choose you. Yes, I will covenant with you. I will make my relationship with you. But because man willfully chose to rebel and reject his Creator and what his Creator stood for and what holiness and righteousness is, he was filled with unrighteousness and wrath of God came upon it. God's wrath is revealed from heaven, and it's revealed from heaven against two things, ungodliness and unrighteousness. What is ungodliness? I want you to understand what ungodliness is, because this begins to get into the depths of what sin is. Ungodliness is a total disregard of God and his moral standards, and it's to live in an immoral situation where we rebel against and neglect to even worship or show reverence to him. That is ungodliness. Ungodliness is seen throughout our world today. Now, one of the things that is really missing in all the discussion that's going on in our culture and the world today is a really turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, forgive us for our sin. Lord, come and heal our land and heal individuals. And Lord, may our relationship be restored with you through Jesus Christ. You know, we're just talking before the service and praying that the churches in Minnesota would open soon. And really, the churches in North Dakota, they can open. And the sad thing is, many of them aren't. There's remaining closed. And we should be turning to the Lord and calling upon him. And instead, we're showing us a disrespect to God, a disgust of him and his ability, and a neglect to worship, and really an irreverence towards him and his character. That's scary when you stop and look at that. This is the sign of those that are walking in rebellion against God. The second thing that he talks about is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is a habitual course in wickedness. In other words, that has become the mark of your character, is that you are wicked in nature, and wickedness stands against that which is holy and pure and righteous. And so a habitual course in wickedness, in developing a character of wickedness, is that which brings about God's wrath. Now, when you stop and think about this, does America deserve God's mercy? I remember a number of years ago, Roberta and I were down at Fergus Falls, and Dr. Francis Schaeffer was still living. It was 1 year before his death, and he was already had cancer and was very weak, but he was still speaking, and he came to Fergus Falls to speak, and we went down to hear him. At the end of his lecture, he had a question and answer period, and I remember one man stood up and asked him, "Do you feel that revival will come to America?" And his response was, "I look and I pray that revival would come, and I pray that God's hand of mercy would be upon our land, but I look at the character of what is happening in our nation, and God's wrath is what we deserve." At that time, abortion had been legalized for about 15 years. The number of children that we have slaughtered in our country for no reason except self-centered selfishness and wickedness. You know, if it's interesting, you go back into the nation of Israel. And when God's hand of wrath would be extended towards Israel, it's when, number one, Israel forgot who God was and they begin to worship other gods. And secondly, a mark of that worship of other gods always involved an attack upon the value of human life. And oftentimes these false gods, who are no gods at all, but really demonically inspired, idolic objects of worship, would demand that death be a mark of their worship, and children would often be sacrificed. And the point that would ultimately bring the wrath of God upon Israel was when they begin to sacrifice their children to Moloch and Ashtaroth. And you look at America and the millions of children we have sacrificed. I pray that God would touch people's hearts. When I have opportunities, I share with people the truth of God's word. I try to encourage Christians to do the same. And the sad thing is, I don't think a lot of people are being encouraged to look to the Lord, because, I mean, it's amazing. I get to talk to people with my job at different places around the country, and I'm talking about what's happening, and I'm saying that we need to be encouraged, and talk to them about what God can do, and then also the layers of things that are going on here, the spiritual layers. The Bible talks about a one-world government, a one-world economy, a one-world religion, and a lot of things that are happening in our nation right now enable that to come in. I don't think it's coming quite yet, but it's sure the trial run for many of those things. And I said, the Bible talks about it, but it says we as Christians should be encouraged, because it says that the Lord will return for his church. And he also tells us that we're to be like the churches at, as we saw and studied a couple weeks ago at Smyrna and Philadelphia, that are encouraged by the Lord because they were in the midst of the battle, being persecuted by those who stood against God in ungodliness and unrighteousness, yet they remained true, and God gave them a special blessing and said he was with them and would give them victory, and that they would accomplish what he had set forth for them to accomplish. And we can do that. But as we go back to the text, we need to understand that the world is under the wrath of God. And ultimately, that wrath will be seen in its fullness in what is referred to as the Great Tribulation, the last 7 years before Jesus returns to judge the quick and the dead and establish his millennial kingdom. Now it says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. And what is it? The next statement is very telling when you look at what is happening in our world today. It says here, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now the concept of holding, it's not that they're hanging on to the truth and they want to maintain the truth. No, the word hold here in the original language means to suppress or hold down. So in other words, they realize that there is a truth and that there is the truth. But they desire to suppress it, to hold it down so that man cannot see it, and that they will not have to be accountable to it, and somehow that if they can suppress it, it'll disappear, and it won't impact their lives, and they can go about doing what they want to do. And the means by which they hold it down or suppress it is through unrighteousness, and we saw that as unrighteousness was a habitual course of wickedness. Is that what's been happening in our world? You know, you stop and look at it. There's much coming out about our own political situation and what's happened with our current president by the former president and those that were working for him. And in the last few weeks, there's come out a lot about how that they were saying that this was what was going on, but it really wasn't going on, and they were suppressing the truth, which was that our current president had nothing to do with Russia. He had nothing to do with anything that he was accused of, but they made up lies, and they suppressed or pushed down the truth so that we couldn't know it, and they presented instead a course of wickedness to accomplish their purpose and agenda, which was, in this case, to overthrow a duly elected president. Was that wicked? Absolutely. never been attempted in the history of our nation before. But that's just one small sign. Because you look at, Paul's going to go on and he's going to say that these men know the truth. Where's other places that truth has been suppressed by unrighteousness? Well, and all one has to do is go to the college campuses across America today. Some of the things that are happening on just about every college campus, including many Christian college campuses. Number one, that God is creator. What did Paul start this whole section out with? He said that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, and in a moment he's going to say that he is the one who's created it. Created, rather, not the unrighteousness, but he's created this, his creation. You know, a lot of people say, well, God is creator, a literal six-day creation, it really doesn't matter. Yet, if you look at Scripture, you'll see that throughout the Old Testament, what we refer to as the Old Testament, you see, God is creator, God is creator, God is creator. And then through the New Testament, you read the letters of Paul, you read the Gospels, you read the letters of the other apostles, and what do you see? God is creator, God is creator, God is creator. It talks about the fact that John in his Gospel says that Jesus created all things, and by him all things were created that were created. And all things that were created and that are were created by him. Not by someone else. It wasn't by a process. It was creation. Yet, you go to the college campuses today, what do? They suppress creation. I encourage you to, last week, he's a Jewish man. He's not a Christian, but he put together an interesting video called Expelled. I told you about that, Ben Stein. Get it, listen to it on YouTube. It's on there. And it talks about how our colleges are suppressing the fact that all the evidence points to the fact there had to be a creator. But they suppress it. They push it down. And it's done because of unrighteousness and ungodliness, because they do not want to give God the glory. They do not want to acknowledge God. Because if they say that he created, what do we have to do? We have to be accountable to our creator. Because he put everything in motion. And he's the one that we need to be accountable to. He sets the rules. But if I want to set the rules, I've got to suppress that truth. But you don't even have to see some other things that are happening on the college campuses today. Anti-Semitism is on the rise tremendously on American college campuses. You can go to the college campuses today and there was a group that decided what they were going to do was see the response to a Jewish flag that they would bring to the college campus, and some of the students would stand with a Jewish flag, a flag of Israel, and then they'd come and stand with a Palestinian flag. When they stood with the Jewish or the Israeli flag, they were harassed tremendously. They were told they couldn't be there. But when the Palestinian flag came out, they were readily accepted. Yet if you look at which nation is the one that is the real nation, which nation has a right to be in the land they're in, according to the scriptures and according to God, but it doesn't matter because the truth is suppressed and the lies are lifted up. And unrighteousness is attempted to use to suppress the truth. Those are just two examples, and you can go on with many, many more that are happening in our culture. You can look and address what's happening with marriage. You can look and address what's happening with children. All kinds of things. But he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. They are without excuse. Now, many people say, well, I don't know, you know, you go to Africa and these poor natives in Africa, you ever notice how people always take to try and find the most extreme examples that you can possibly find and use that as the premise to establish That's called suppressing the truth with unrighteousness. Well, let's go to the darkest regions of Africa or the darkest regions of Asia or the darkest regions of the United States. And let's go to someone who maybe has never had the Bible, never had a missionary there, never had a pastor there, never had a Christian there to talk to him about Jesus. Do they stand without excuse? Or do they have a way to get into heaven besides Jesus? Well, what does the Bible tell us? No. Paul tells us right here, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. It's interesting. There's been missionaries that have gone to some of the darkest regions of the world, and when they brought the gospel and they brought Jesus to these people, sometimes they've been met with, "We've been waiting for you. We heard that there was a Savior. We heard that there was a means by which we could come to God. We've been waiting for you." Well, how could they be waiting? Because God plants in our hearts what is right and what is good. If one looks at the creation around us and begins to approach it from an intelligent point of view, one needs to ask the question, how could this ever have come into being? There had to be someone who created me. When you look at the intricacies of your body itself, and you don't have to be a biologist, you don't have to be a medical doctor, all you have to do is just look at how marvelous it is that we have the ability to pick things up with our fingers, and we have the ability to communicate with our mouths, and we have the ability to think with our brains and do all these marvelous things with just our bodies, and then the way that everything in the world interacts, and you've got certain plants that attract certain bugs, and those bugs can't live without the plants, and the plants can't live without the bugs, and it's amazing. And God revealed this to people. But what do? They suppress the truth with unrighteousness because they want to walk in ungodliness, so they don't even acknowledge what they see around them. But Paul says it's there to be observed and seen. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, everybody in the world is right, whether you're a creationist or evolutionist, in that none of us really know what happened at the moment of creation because we weren't there. But there was one who was there, and that was God. And as Ken Ham once said when he spoke at a conference in Fargo, he said, "Are we going to believe man who wasn't there, who doesn't know everything, and who can't possibly have any idea what could have happened at that point in history when things came into being? Are we going to believe him, infallible man who doesn't know everything and wasn't there? Or are we going to be believing a God who is all-knowing, who was there, and knows and saw it because he did it? Who are we going to believe?" It says here that God has revealed to us the invisible things of Him. We haven't seen God, the Father, and weren't there at creation. But from the time of creation, He is revealed in His creation, as well as in His written word and through things that He has done for mankind, like the nation of Israel, being a sign to the world of who He is. That He has revealed to us that they can be clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All one has to do is look around and see the eternal power of God. And if you want to know the truth, the more the advance we become as a culture, the more we should see the eternal power of God. Just a few years ago, my son-in-law had gotten a hold of a little video that was put together by a group of students from Harvard University, and this video was done as a graphics, cartoonish video showing the inner workings of a cell. And it was an amazing video showing you all these things. Did you know that your cells have little cleanup parts, a little system in the cell that cleans up the waste and takes the waste out and dumps the waste? And they've got all kinds of systems that we've developed, and we think we're so smart, but God developed them on a microscopic level that we can't even see within the cell. Hydraulic systems in the cell, all kinds of different functions within the cell. And these students put this together, and it was an amazing little video. It was showing, it was explaining all what all these little parts do within the cell, and it was blown up. Of course, it wasn't under an electronic microscope. You were seeing it on a video screen as they blew it up and did it in graphic form. But it was amazing. And I was sharing this with a friend of mine, and I said, you know what's even more amazing? I bet you the kids, or the young men and women that put this graphic together, don't believe in creation. That's what's more amazing. They somehow think that all these hydraulic systems and different functions of little parts within the cell that work independently of one another but yet work together, and the body controls it with DNA and it's formed and all this stuff, and they're sitting there and it just happened. Really? I go down to the hydraulic shop, and if the hydraulics in my car break and I go to the garage, it takes somebody who's got knowledge to be able to take apart the parts and replace the broken part, and there had to be somebody that made the new part that he could send to replace the broken part, and he had to put it together, and he has to have real knowledge to do it. But all of a sudden, on a microscopic level that you can't even begin to see, that stuff got all put together, and it's in every cell. It doesn't make sense. But if you suppress the truth in unrighteousness, you deny one, but you stand not accountable on your own works, but you stand accountable on what you've rejected before a holy and righteous God, and the accounting is not going to be a good one. Because Paul says, because of these things, even his eternal power, shows the tremendous power that he has in Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So that those that reject it, that suppress the truth, are without excuse. Now I want you to just notice one thing there too that should give us tremendous encouragement. Is God powerful enough to deal with the coronavirus? Or has man developed something that is beyond God and he can't deal with it? He says he's got all power. You know, it was amazing. I was listening to some of the testimonies of these people that came to Christ and some of the things that are happening throughout the world. People are coming to know Jesus because of the power of God, because of answered prayer. You know, I think some of the thing in the United States, we've gotten to the point we don't think that God can hear and answer prayer, that we've got to be the ones that do it. I was just listening to one of the testimonies, and they were talking about, it sounded like what had happened to George Mueller. They needed, and I'm forgetting the specific need that it was, but they needed something and they had to have it. And if they didn't have it, it was a matter of life and death. And these people cried out to God. The specific day they needed this, it showed up. And it had been sent from the United States 5 months before. But it showed up the very day they needed it. Just like the things that happened with George Mueller. He'd pray and needed money. He'd pray and checks would show up that had been mailed months before he prayed. How does that work? Well, if God's all powerful, He knows our needs before we know our needs. And if we're trusting in Him, it says that He hears and answers our prayers. Part of the thing I think that happens today is that we suppress the truth and we suppress the glory that is due to God with our unrighteousness, even as Christians. And when we do that, we stand without excuse. It says an interesting thing, because what happens when individuals suppress the truth in unrighteousness and are without excuse because they ignore all the evidence around them that reveals that God is worthy of our prayer, praise. It says they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. In other words, they didn't say, Lord, we thank You that You are our Creator. Lord, we thank You that You are the one that sustains our lives. Lord, we thank You that You are our Redeemer, and that when we were yet sinners, You sent Your Son to die on the cross that we could have life and life eternal, and that we could be brought into fellowship with You again, and we could bring glory to You, our Creator. They don't do that. And instead it says that glory of God. Neither were thankful. And this is something that Paul often writes to the church about, that we need to be thankful in our attitudes and be filled with gratitude and praise. And I know that oftentimes what happens to me is when I take my eyes off the Lord and I'm not thankful, what happens is I go into this self pity thing, and I get frustrated and upset and don't see even the blessings that God has got for me in the midst of what others would view as turmoil. And that there can be real blessings there. You know, you stop and think, Satan's trying to use this coronavirus for all kinds of things. I said there's a layered whole attack that he's got, and he's trying to put his situation into play, and the scriptures tell us that it's coming, and that one day it will be here. But guess what? There's blessings here too. Like I said, there's people that are ready to listen that were never ready to listen about the gospel because they're afraid. There's people that have been having to stay at home with their kids, and probably for the first time since they had kids, have had to be with their kids. And they need to be taught what that means. That it just shouldn't be when you're under government-mandated quarantine, but rather you should want to be with your family, because God's established a family as the means by which you pass your values to the next generation. But he said that those who suppress the truth, those who walk in rebellion, they're not thankful. Imaginations. Now, the word vanity means empty or without purpose. They have become empty and without purpose, real purpose in their imaginations. And what would be deemed the purpose that they have for these imaginations is really to further suppress the truth. I can think back to the degree I got in college in psychology and sociology, where the whole field of psychology suppressed the truth. And the reason they suppressed the truth and they became vain in their imaginations is they did not want to be accountable to God. You had Sigmund Freud, one of the founders of psychology, who hated God. He was a Jew who hated God. And not only did he hate God, he wanted to do what he wanted to do with relationships. And he didn't want to be bound according to what God established, one woman for one man. And didn't think anyone should have to be. Carl Jung would rather respond to a demonic spirit's leading than yield to the Bible, so he suppressed in unrighteousness. Just examples. And what happens when the was darkened? The further you go down that road, the further darkness comes into your heart. And that's why we sang in a hymn earlier tonight, the light of the world is Jesus. He enlightens the truth and reveals the truth so that we can be set free. But when we go the way of our own vain imaginations and follow and suppress the truth, we only go deeper into darkness. And ultimately, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. One of the things that's really bothered me about this whole thing has been some of the ones that profess themselves to be so wise about this virus are constantly making themselves, in my eyes anyway, out to be fools. We're going to have 2.5 million Americans dead. Oh, I meant 1 million Americans dead. I meant 250,000. I meant 100,000. I meant 60,000. Oh, but if you open up again, it's going to be 100. It's going to be 1 million. Well, what is it? Professing themselves to be wise, they really, if you start to listen to them, become fools. What do they know? And where is ever anybody standing up and saying, what we really need to do is go to the one who knows all things and say, Lord, we got a problem here. And we need to call on you because I don't know. You know who's going to die, but I don't. And you know how many are going to die, but I don't. And I'm going to call on you that you would save lives and be merciful, even though we don't deserve your mercy. But professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. They can't give you answers. And they can't even tell you what they're basing their answers on. They claim it's science, but the scriptures talk about science that is so-called science, but really isn't science. And finally, in the last verse we're looking at tonight, and then we'll close, it says, change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And that's exactly where we are today. We worship man. We worship creation. We worship animals. You worship man. You worship the athlete. You worship the actor. You worship the musician. You worship the animals to the point where animals have become more important than men. We kill babies, but we save puppies. And I'm not against saving puppies. But when we go down this route, it's a downward spiraling vortex that leads ultimately to total destruction. Paul wants us to know this is the fate of the world. And that is the fate of man when he rejects the truth and suppresses it through wickedness. He's going to get to the hopefulness. We got a couple more chapters where he's going to talk about the results of sin. But the way he's laying it out is so that we understand the horror of sin. And as Christians, we need to understand this. This is where the world's at. I don't care if they're millionaires. I don't care if they're billionaires. If they're suppressing the truth about God, they're going down a road. And that's why you can have Bill Gates standing up in front of everybody saying, I'm going to come up with a vaccine and I'm going to put a chip in it and everybody's going to have to take that vaccine and you won't be able to travel if you can't be scanned and find my chip in that vaccine to show that you've had that vaccine so that you won't pass this coronavirus on to somebody else. You know something? God knows about something like that. It's going to get worse than just being able to board an airplane. It's going to be, pretty soon you won't be able to buy or sell. That's what he says is going to happen unless you have the mark of the beast. But the ways that seem right unto man when they suppress the truth open them up to all forms of vanity and rebellion against God. And they rely upon and worship man instead of God and the creation instead of the Creator. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand these things. Help us to see what Paul is saying. Help us to be aware of how all of this works its way out in the day in which we live, and it's evident all around us. And Lord, we need to be filled with real compassion for the lost, understanding that they have suppressed the truth and are going down the way of destruction and are on their way to an eternal hell because they refuse to worship you and give you glory. Lord, may you, who are the one who desires to give us all that is good and precious and true, be merciful to us and be gracious to us and help us to proclaim the truth to those that do not know it. That they in turn may have their eyes opened and their ears unstopped, and that they may respond to the gospel message and come to know your Son as our Lord and Savior. Go with us and give us opportunities in the week ahead to do this. This we pray in Jesus' name.